You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of November 27th, 2019, and we've CG revised our faces.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Albor.
My name is Scott Juster.
We're the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a serious but not humorous conversation about video games. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, if you're in America.
Who said the end of the year is slow for news? That's true. All over the place.
All the time.
That's true. It's when are we releasing this? On Thanksgiving? No, day before Thanksgiving.
Day before American Thanksgiving, yeah. So we're in the kitchens. We're cooking up a turkey or something.
Yeah, as you listen to this, there may or may not be a grease fire in both of our households.
Are you doing turkey?
Begrudgingly, yes.
Man, why can't we just all get past it at this point?
I don't know. Han and I had that exact conversation because we did turkey last week and we're going to do it again this week. And we were trying to decide how big of a turkey to buy. And we were like, well, we can basically just subtract two people from this because both of us don't like turkey.
Right. Exactly.
So the people making it are the one we don't even like it. And it's like, we definitely do it at obligation.
100%. But I feel like there's an old guard generational thing where when all of the boomers finally die off, you know?
Oh, what a glorious day.
Goodbye, boomers. when that day comes to pass, maybe we can finally take a vote and all decide that turkey is dry and flavorless poultry and move on to duck or rabbit.
Anything. I mean, just double down on the stuffing.
Ham? Go ahead. No turkey for me, please. But double the scoop of the stuffing.
Double the stuffing. I mean, it is telling that so much of Thanksgiving, you know, whether it be cranberry sauce or gravy or stuffing or whatever, is meant to compensate for the fact that turkey is tasteless and gross.
That's exactly right. Yeah, you need to slather it in something.
Yes.
Anyway, thanks for listening to our Thanksgiving-themed podcast. We're talking
America's Test Kitchen.
about some actual video game stuff this week. I've been playing a little bit of Pokemon, so we'll talk about that as well. But let's catch up on some of the older news, which was the changing of Sonic the Hedgehog's face in the new Sonic movie.
Man, this Odyssey. Yeah, we never got to talk about this on the podcast, but now that people have had a chance to just digest for a while, this entire story from start to finish.
Yes.
I mean, from the very inception, the fact that there is a Sonic movie coming out is already insanity. And then the whole, you know, the Jim Carrey thing is insanity.
Yep.
And then, of course, the face, the teeth.
Yes.
The weird nose.
The first Sonic was very much in the Uncanny Valley realm.
Yes.
You know, that is the kind of, like, if you stepped through a portal and Sonic the Hedgehog was in front of you, you would think that you were in the hell dimension of some kind, you know?
And you would be.
It's a terrifying visage. Now, I should say, I was one of those people that was like, quit your complaining. It's fine. Kids aren't going to notice. It's not that big of a deal. Cool your jets. And was generally against the idea of going back to the drawing board, because they really did like redo a lot of the animation, all of the animations essentially in the entire film, which is a lot of man hours, a lot of work. It means a lot of crunch time likely for people to get it done as fast as physically possible.
Yep.
That being said, this is way better.
I mean, it's almost scary that they were able to basically turn this around in a matter of, you know, I don't know when they decided. It's months, right? I mean, it's less than a year. And to your point, it's not just, man, just looking at the comparisons, it's not just the face.
Yep.
It's the hands. Yep. It's the body, eyes. The color. I mean,
they even changed the shoe. And if you compare the two shoes, right, the first shoe is just like, uncanny. I mean, it's an Uncanny Valley sneaker, right? It's like a photorealistic sneaker. The second set of shoes is much more the classic Sonic style, which I have to assume doesn't use laces, but instead uses one large white strip of Velcro.
Right.
I assume because Sonic doesn't take his gloves off and isn't good at tying his shoes.
Well, plus he doesn't have time for laces. He's got to go fast.
That's true. He does have to move fast. they changed the shoes as well. So they really did the whole getup was just a complete redesign closer to what the Sonic 2 look or the animated Sonic.
Yeah.
The big eyes for sure.
It's almost the huge mono eye. I mean, there's just the faintest strip in between the eyes.
Yeah. Did you ever see that comic where Kirby comes out of Sonic's face?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Horrifying. I'll never forget that visage. I saw the updated Sonic, and I thought to myself, you know what? Maybe I would actually see this movie now. You know?
it made that much of an impression.
It did. Well, you know, I think also after that I had seen, after the revealing, but before this change, after the revealing of the first Sonic, but before this change, I did watch Detective Pikachu. And I was delightfully surprised by Detective Pikachu. So my thought was, maybe this will be a similar, you know, perfectly fine family film, but with Sonic the Hedgehog. Now, everyone did immediately correct me and say they changed the image, but not the story. And I think there's something important about that call out, because the tone of a photorealistic Sonic is a little bit horrifying. And if the tone of the artistic direction of Sonic is indicative of the film's tone, then there might be a weird juxtaposition even with this more fun cartoony version of Sonic if the rest of the film isn't fun and cartoony as well.
Like they designed the movie in a certain way but then swapped it out, but the rest of the movie doesn't change,
right?
So now it's even stranger.
Exactly. Like there's not another palette change, right? I mean, I don't think they recorded new lines or changed dialogue in a new way, so I don't know. I mean, or the movie was always fun and jovial and someone just fucked up real bad in the animation department.
I mean, it's like, you, I agree, this, for some reason, I don't know if it's just because I'm more used to what this looks like or if it actually looks better. I mean, it does look pretty good. But I feel bad almost because I am the same way. I was like, don't give into internet mobs. You're just going to empower them. But this does look very much better than the initial one.
Oh, my gosh.
But I mean, it scares me because it's just they were able to turn it around so fast. It does look completely different. It scares me the amount of work it must have taken. There might have been some shots that were, maybe Sonic isn't that, maybe the difference isn't that much in terms of like dimensions of the character. But could you theoretically have a scene where, oh shit, we changed the Sonic model and now his head would clip through the ceiling or something like that? You know, like it just is weird to think about, and like the actors who had to act against a green screen or just, you know, a fucking tennis ball on a stick or whatever.
Yeah. Which is basically what the first Sonic looked like. It's just a blue tennis ball on a stick.
Little fuzz. But they had to like take that into consideration such that we can't have this too different, or else whatever his name is, Cyclops, is going to be looking at the wrong thing.
Well, that's why the eyes are so big, because then no matter where he's looking at Sonic's beautiful green eyes.
Man, George, what a hack. You are, what a producer hack,
exactly
right there,
right,
man. That, you're bound for Hollywood, this one.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I'm sure that there's some weird scenes. I really wish we could get a freaky Sonic cut. You know, because I would honestly, I would love to watch both films simultaneously, like layered on top of one another.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to see like what are the, because at the end of the day, we'll never see really like what this older version looked like. And
the Zack Snyder cut.
Yeah.
Of, whatever, Superman.
And I do agree that we missed an opportunity. Like if this movie were originally, like, let's say this is a bad movie, which it likely will be.
Hold on. I really got to gear up my imagination to get into this.
Imagine that the movie was this bad, but also had this bizarre body horror-esque nightmare version of Sonic running through it.
Yeah,
like that would be such a weird, bizarre treat, you know?
Yeah, that would be. I wonder if any part of it was based off, what's the guy's name who plays Sonic? He was John Raffio on Parks and Rec.
Oh, Ben Schwartz.
Yeah, I wonder if any of it was based off, because you know how sometimes they base animated characters' kind of essential physical traits on the voice actor that's doing it.
Oh,
I wonder if any part of him was in there, and he's like, "Oh."
Like if you look at the old Sonic, is Ben Schwartz inside that face?
Yeah,
Scott, I'm looking at it right now. There's nothing in that face. It's just cold, dead eyes.
Well, that's good then. Yeah. In that case, he's home free.
I do think that this movie will do better because of it. Like, genuinely, it will do better. You know?
Yeah.
If this trailer appears in front of a kid's movie, kids will be more interested in seeing it.
Well, they won't be scared anymore, at least.
Yeah, they won't be scared.
Oh, man. Well, congratulations, entire production crew, for doing what I can only imagine was extremely thankless and Herculean task.
And I will do the thankless job of watching this movie and reporting back.
All right. What's next on the docket? Still in Trailer Town here?
Yeah, Trailer Town. We are headed back to a land that we visited long ago.
Man, how many years ago did Half-Life 2... Episode 2 come out?
I mean, 10? I can look it up. Let's see. Half-Life 2 11? Episode 2.
I'm going to say 11.
11 years?
Yeah.
2007.
2007?
October 10th, actually. 12 years. So.
Oh, right, because it was in Orange Box, right? Like, Orange that was Box. The same.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Man,
back in the
2007.
Day.
What a year.
We never thought this day would come. Well, it's still not here. It's not Half-Life it's still, 3.
Yeah. Half-Life Alyx was announced, a VR only. Yep. What I'm to understand is a prequel, in between 2, I think, and 1.
Oh, thank God! We desperately needed that stuff to be filled in.
We needed to fill in that.
What the fuck?
But a new Half-Life game in the year 2020.
Now we've heard rumors that. Yep. Steam or Valve was working on a Half-Life game for quite a while. There were also plenty of, I think, rumors that were based on good foundations that they were designing a game for a next-gen platform and eventually VR once they threw their hat in that particular ring. So I don't think anybody was especially surprised by the unveiling of Alyx. I mean, I guess maybe the timing and, you know, not really knowing what it was going to be in terms of where within the canon of Half-Life, but I don't think anybody was surprised that Valve was producing a VR game in the Half-Life universe.
Right. And we had been talking for a long time, and it's not just us, where at a certain point it became clear that if there were to ever be another Half-Life game, period, it would have to be VR.
Yes, and it makes sense that if they want to sell a $1,000 VR headset, they should probably come out strong.
Yeah.
Now, you and I are still not owners of VR, despite, 2 years into the year of VR. It's been a long... the year of VR is a very long year.
We're living that VR-free lifestyle.
I'm still hesitant to really jump in until I feel like we're at a point where the resolution and the frame rate are good enough to not be nauseating and not be distinctly of lower quality. I actually, my understanding is that this Valve Index, which is their VR kit, is getting closer to maybe that moment, right? I think it's, they were saying 120 hertz refresh rate, maybe 144 was like some optional thing. I still think they have pretty good resolution. I think the Windows VR system might be higher, but I think they're at least like 1440 in each eye panel. So I mean, it is an appealing VR kit, and I think I would probably suggest that if I'm ever going to get in VR, it will be this quality or higher in terms of what I buy into. $999 is fucking way too much for me to invest into a VR system.
I mean, and it's not for me. It's not just it's obviously the price and the quality of the experience, but the quality of the experience extends to the actual setup, where how are we doing on base stations? Like how finicky are they when you have to mount them in your room somewhere? How finicky is the fact that you're still, to my knowledge, except for the Oculus one that just came out recently, you're still tethered to a machine. Yeah. You know, you look like Neo from the Matrix or something jutting out from your head that you're like just jacked in.
Covered in VR jelly.
Yeah. I mean, you really like, and so there's just a lot of quality of life and general quality of technology stuff that is almost there, but it feels like perhaps not quite. And then I guess the biggest thing, because you can get over a lot of silly hardware stuff if the games are there.
Yep.
And that's kind of the last thing. But I mean, this feels like,
well, a, I mean, game, we is watched there, the
trailer.
Least.
Yeah, I mean, I that trailer looks good. I mean, it looks like highly atmospheric. There's some, I mean, it had everything. There was a couple notes of humor in there. There was that creepy Half-Life feel.
The problem with that trailer, though, for me, is I see things that I've seen in other VR experiences.
Yes,
that could break at the moment they cut in the trailer, right? Like the head crab jump at the camera. Never mind the fact that scares me shitless, and I have no interest in getting jump scared by like face huggers.
Hmm.
But what happens when, you know, you move forward at that moment and the creature falls to the ground and then you have to like try to find it and shoot at it, right?
Yeah.
Or there's a scene where Alex is like rummaging through a bookcase to find ammunition to load into her gun, you know?
Mm.
What if you octodad it in that moment and knock over all of the bullets on the ground, right? Because you didn't quite understand the sort of tactical movement of your hands through that space yet, or there's some error in it. Like, there's just a lot of things that you have to judge experientially.
Yeah.
And no matter how good it looks in a, you know, in a canned trailer, it still raises red flags to me, because no matter how good it looks in VR, it might not feel good, you know?
Yeah. Well, and even the the moments of the trailer that did look like it was executing exactly what it was going for, I could see through, I could read between the lines a little bit and see how it could very easily be a very nice looking version of what you often see on VR games, which is basically a corridor or an arcade shooter.
Yep.
Where it's like, okay, Alex ducks behind this bookcase and it all looks very cool and dynamic, and then you're behind this bookcase kind of locked in place until you shoot the things, and then you're basically time crisising it around the levels. And again, I might be wrong, but just some of the scenes in that trailer, if you strip out the graphics and the level of polish, it looks a lot like the arcade shooters that are all over VR today. And so you got to wonder, I mean, you know, Half-Life 1 kind of changed the game in terms of story in a shooter. Half-Life 2 was basically responsible for physics inside of shooters, let alone video games in general.
Yep.
You have to believe, I have to believe that Valve has cracked something.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, this, we've made some sort of advancement. I don't know what it is. I'm not that smart, but it just seems like they would have to have that level of advancement to want to put something like this out.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, that's the hope, right?
Because if not, why would they do it? Well, I mean, why not just make more Dota skins and call it a day, you know?
One concern is, you know, if you're thinking about them producing two products, right? And we know that they have to have a system seller for a unit that is this expensive, and they've invested a lot of money into producing, right?
Right.
And then you're also producing this game on the side. What are the odds that the production pipelines on both line up perfectly, you know?
Mm.
It could be that one is rushed and the other isn't. It could be that they were, you know, one was finished earlier or designed in a silo, and then they're sort of like mashed together again. Like, we don't really know. And of course, they have access to their own hardware, so it's much easier for them to design a Half-Life Alyx with their VR unit in mind, right? But I don't know. I mean, there's still always a chance that they didn't figure anything out. It just, they needed to come out with this because they had been spending so much time on the VR, and they needed to launch the VR at some point, and it needs a system seller, you know?
Yeah, that is strange.
I mean, the other thing that I would be concerned about if I were them is that this is a game that's coming out in March of 2020. I don't know, is the Valve Index VR kit available yet? I don't think it is, right? It launches with...
Does
or
it?
Is it? Maybe it is, actually. I
For
don't know.
For some reason, I thought it was out. I mean, I haven't been following it that closely, but I thought it was out. It's just that there wasn't necessarily like a killer app or whatever.
Well, in either case, if we're imagining that March 2020 with the release of Alyx is really the window that you want to be selling the Valve VR kit, this is also the year where we're expecting to get next-gen consoles, if not later this year.
Yep.
that's a lot of hardware to be buying in one particular year. And
that's a good point.
Realistically, how many people are going to want to shell out $1,000 for your VR unit? Plus, I mean, right. I guess at that point, maybe you're banking that they're already PC users because they need the PC to hook it up with, and then
a pretty fancy PC,
and
really.
Yeah,
too.
And a good PC, and that they are not then also interested in buying any of the new consoles. So,
right.
I don't know.
So, some intrepid newsies dug up some interesting Twitter, some interesting Twitter scoops. Profile changes, as well as talked with some folks from Valve, and it looks like some folks from Campo Santo are working on this game.
Well. On Alex?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
But here's the fucking monkey's paw of this whole situation. The game title In the Valley of the Gods has disappeared from all of their Twitter accounts.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
And it's still, I looked it up this morning when I read that article. I was like, what the hell? And so I looked it up on Steam. In the Valley of the Gods is still listed on Steam, but there's no release date around it anymore.
Okay, so are people surmising that In the Valley of the Gods will now be a Valve Index VR only title?
I mean, there's people hypothesizing that it's everything from that to maybe it's pretty much done and they've rolled those people off to maybe they're not going to release it at all.
Crazy.
Yeah. So apparently,
was Camposanto bought by Valve earlier this year?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe last year, late last year or something. Anyway, all those guys moved up to Seattle and are working at Valve now.
If it's really the latter, that would bum me out.
Yes. Because that's why it is kind of like, man. And it was just, it was when I was looking at, you know, everyone, like, I think it was Chris Remo and Vanaman and Rodkin. And I think Jane Ng, I think that's the artist that works with them a lot.
Yep.
I believe all of them no longer have In the Valley of the Gods on their Twitter bios anymore. And I was like, man, that is a grim sign.
Man, Scott, that really bums me out. Because
I didn't want to tell you because we were both looking forward to that game.
I don't know how you have a positive reading of that. Because that's a PR move. You know, you don't ask your developers to remove a title from their personal social media accounts.
Yep.
Especially timed like that. You know, like it's one thing for like a couple of people to remove it, but to ask everybody to remove it at once means like you don't want to overpromise the delivery of a game that may or may not exist now.
Yeah, I don't know. That I was just trying to think through.
And like, they removed the announced trailer online.
Yep.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. And so the trailer now only exists, as far as I can tell, on the Steam page. And it's like, oh, man, this, again, grim.
Yeah. Yep. That's a bummer.
So, I mean, it's, I think that game, I don't know the economics behind it, but I think that game would have done well. I think it would have done well, just like Firewatch did. Yep. And if they really don't want those people working on a game that I think has a built-in audience and you can basically pretty accurately predict who will buy it and how many people are out there that would buy it, that either suggests that they didn't think it was worth it, or that they thought that Alex was so worth it that they're just gonna essentially consign this game to death and sacrifice it for Alex.
Honestly, I think that's almost certainly what is going to happen.
It's crazy, though, right? Like, you rarely see something like that, especially for a game that has been out in the public. I'm pretty sure that In the Valley of the Gods appeared at the Game Awards last year or the year before.
Man.
It'd be a pretty high-profile game to disappear. I mean, not as high-profile as, like, you know, NBA 2K that gets canceled every
this
year.
This is also the sort of nightmare scenario, right? Like, and again, where this is all rumor, maybe it's fine, maybe they're just changing the name In the Valley of the fucking VR Gods or whatever, I don't know. Like, who knows, right? But if it is indeed canceled or put on hold indefinitely while this team now works on Alex, this is the nightmare scenario of any independent studio that decides to sell to a major publisher. And that sucks. Because that, even if you're like, okay, fine, we're not going to sign with Valve, is that huge concern, right? Like, what Double Fine got picked up by Microsoft last year, and it was like, yay, they were given a lot of independence, and that's great. But, man, like, I'm sure that the team at Camposanto agreed to move to Valve with a certain understanding, and if this game is end up getting scrapped, I feel like there's probably some fucking fine print in someone's contract that, you know.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I had to share the news with somebody.
Well, cool. Thanks for ruining my day. All right. Well,
maybe we can redeem it a little bit. Give me a couple minutes on Pokemon Sword/Shield and try to, because I kind of want to play it. Yep. And so I'm waiting on your first impressions.
Every year when we talk about Pokemon, I always say I'm never going to play another Pokemon game. Uh-huh. And lo and behold, I always play fucking Pokemon games again. Despite my best effort, I did pick up Pokemon Shield. You can move.
Wait, how did you decide between Shield or Sword?
Between the two? Gym leaders.
Oh, there's different gym leaders.
So there's different gym leaders between the two games. There's a gym leader that's only in Shield that is this, like, creepy emo goth girl that runs a ghost gym, and that's just like too on brand for me, so I signed up and picked that one up.
Okay, got it.
I don't even know if the starters are any different. I don't think they are. I think it's mostly the gyms.
I don't know. Well, now if I pick it up, I'll definitely get Sword, so we can catch them all.
Yeah, because there are some Pokemon specific to each of the Swords and Shield, of course. Yeah. But they're not like, I don't think they're the starter Pokemons. I think those are consistently the same. Yeah, I mean, two things strike me while playing this game. One is I think one of the reasons I don't like Pokemon games generally is I feel a general lack of interesting choices in any given scenario. It never really feels like I have all that much control over my fate in these games. I think part of that is the combat that is still very much, very heavily skewed towards like crazy crits and, you know, type matchups where if I'm facing a fire type, I know I need a water type, or if I'm grass type, I know I'm weak to fire type, right? So those type combinations will sort of push and pull me in certain directions when it comes to which Pokemon to use. I am not the type of person that loves grinding it out in Pokemon games, so in all likelihood, I will just pick the highest level Pokemon of the type that I need at that time, do a little bit of grinding to just barely get through a particular challenge, and then move on. And, you know, we're still in a world where the gym missions have to be accomplished one then the other very linearly. It's not open where you can just go and do whichever gym challenge you want, which, like, I am just dying for a Breath of the Wild treatment of Pokemon. Yep. Like, just take this core concept, right, of catching Pokemon and just fucking blow the doors wide open, you know? Yep. And you can see that they're inching their way there. Like, we're in a world now where a lot of the Pokemon in these games, not all of them, but most of them, you can see walking around in the wild before you encounter them, right? So we're already a little bit more open worldy, and there are areas that are like the sort of outdoors areas that are a little bit more nature, where you can sort of choose where you want to go, and it's a little bit more widespread. So there's like hints at it that I think are kind of satisfying, but for the most part, it still follows that very linear, strict Pokemon formula that I think a lot of people know and love, and generally just irritates me whenever I think about it. All that being said, the Pokemon are super fucking cute. There was a lot of drama over the looks of it, but I think the game, to be honest, looks great on my Switch.
To me, it looks good. I mean, I'm not a Pokemaster, but it looks really good.
Yeah, I think it looks great. I think the characters are super well done. The animations are fantastic. The Dynamax system, where you can have some of your Pokemon grow into enormous sizes, is a little bit gimmicky, but it's also super fun and cool to watch one of your Pokemon just grow into like enormous sizes and fight other massive Pokemon. There's some multiplayer elements to that as well, because you can team up with other Pokemon players to like take on those challenges. So it's not the game that I want. It's the game that I expected as an incremental improvement over what is the normal Pokemon formula. I'm enjoying it. I'm still playing it. I'm like, what, three gyms in? You know, I was even thinking about starting a Nuzlocke run at some point because that experience is always a treat.
Yep.
It's fine, but never again.
Never again until the next
one. Until I finish
well,
this
I mean,
one.
I don't know. Seems like at least a you're not running away from it, you know?
I'm not. And there's not anything that is competing for the attention of my Switch right now. Like, most of my time when I'm playing games at home is on Death Stranding or Outer Worlds, and there's still that Star Wars game to play. So, like, there's a lot of games to play right now. But in terms of things on the Switch, Pokemon is fine. It's a good bus game to play. You know, I get in an hour before I get really frustrated. I recently did a work trip to Montreal, and I played a shit ton of Pokemon on that trip and just, you know, was driven to collect random Pokemon that I hadn't seen before, you know. And I also was reading about some Pokemon have a very rare chance of appearing with a particular visual effect when they come in. It's like a sparkle. Mm-hmm. And then there's an even rarer chance that some of the sparkling Pokemon will spawn with square sparkles. And now I'm like kind of obsessed with, like, I'm going to have to
gotta
farm.
Gotta get that sparkle.
I gotta get that spark for the one, for my like choice, for Don Choodle, my Choodle. I'm going to have to get, you know, the cool animation. So.
As, I mean, it's, it seems like, I don't know. It seems like I like the look of it. I actually, weirdly enough, even though the completionist in me is very irritated by it, I kind of like the fact that they're making some hard choices about not including 3,000 Pokemon in the game, so like it's achievable.
It feels like, just... interestingly, I think that Pokemon Go has had a positive effect on the design of Pokemon, because I think some of the features, like being able to see the Pokemon as you're approaching them, which I think is significant and helpful and a cool mechanic and makes the world feel more alive and real than normal, despite the fact that it's super bizarre that the world is just littered with Pokemon that are trying to chase you all the time. All of that aside, I think that's an improvement, and I'm not sure that they would have done that were it not for a large group of people who are interested in Pokemon because of Pokemon Go.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, and Pokemon Go is still extremely popular. Like, just yesterday, I was trying to weave my way around 2 dozen people that were out there trying to catch Pokemon on, you know, on the streets.
Oh, still playing Pokemon Go.
Still playing Pokemon Go. You like at least a couple times a month when I'm coming from the train station, there are just multiple groups of people all staring at their phones like maniacs, you know, swiping to catch whatever Pokemon they're trying to catch. So I think you're right. I mean, that stuff has kept it both relevant with a really broad audience, and also has influenced the style and the gameplay and everything.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, I don't know. My Switch is fairly freed up right now in terms of games I'm focused on. So it seems like Pokemon's kind of a natural fit there.
Yeah. Well, especially for the holidays, like, honestly, Pokemon is so good for the holidays. Like, you're sitting around with your family, you're bloated on,
you're trying to desperately to ignore them,
you're trying to convince them to stop cooking turkey and start making pheasant or whatever replacement bird you've decided to cook. You might as well play Pokemon.
Pokemon brings everyone together.
Well, you know, especially, like, I mean, look, I don't hate to be, it's literally my job to sell you on a video game, but if you're gonna get like if you're gonna, let's say you're bringing Pokemon to the holidays with you, right? Pick it up on Black Friday, give an early Christmas present, play some Pokemon with like your nephew or something. It's a good time, dude, you know?
It's true. Everyone can appreciate Pokemon.
It's family friendly.
Yeah.
Also, side note, you can buy clothes, and I have spent the vast majority of my money on like fashion soulsing my shit out in Pokemon.
For your trainer? They have different like training outfits or whatever?
No, yeah. Well, one, you have different training like gym outfits that you can buy and wear after you defeat gyms. You can swap your clothes out. You can get a haircut. You can do your makeup. I've spent $10,000 changing my hair 3 times.
So what you're saying is you can role play as a YouTuber in the new
Exactly. Pokemon games. I am an e-girl in Pokemon with my team of cute Pokemon.
I'm on board. I think Pokemon Sword is what I'll go with then, so we can compare and contrast.
And trade.
Cool. Well, I think we'll leave it there for now. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our VR jelly vat. Come on down. Bring your friends. We're thankful for all of our listeners. Give us a thanks by leaving us a review on any of the podcast platforms you listen on.
We're everywhere.
We're under your Christmas tree.
We're under your Christmas tree. We're so fast that we're darting everywhere. But don't worry, we don't look like a freakish David Cronenberg Sonic anymore.
Speak for yourself.
We're now we've cutened ourselves.
I like to think that for every Sonic you fix, there's another animated film that has to be changed to go further into the Uncanny Valley.
Sorry, Kung Fu Panda 5 or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like a photorealistic panda.
Whatever Dorian Gray action is happening.
Yeah, sign me up for that.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Ciao.